I'd like to call the April 3rd, 2012 meeting of the Tompkins County Legislature to order. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Oh, I'm sorry. Sit down. We have to have a public hearing first. Well, you know, the clerk says, when Kathy says we have to have a public hearing, then we do it. So let me call. Start again. We're going to call to order the hearing, public hearing on the New York State Department of Housing and Community Renewal Community Development Block Grants for 2012. Would anyone like to address the legislature? John?
Hi, thank you. My name is John Spence. I'm Director of Better Housing for Tompkins County. I would just like to publicly announce our desire to partner with the county on a community development block grant in support of the Tompkins County Home Ownership Program. We've been partnering, and this has been a successful program since 1994. The current grant will be spent out by August, if not sooner. So we're on track there, and we've had about 84 people sign up for the homebuyer workshops in the last 6 months, so the interest at the public level seems to be maintaining itself at a very high level. So that is our intention, if it would please you folks.
Thank you very much, John. Anyone else?
Can I speak?
Yes, of course.
Well, yeah. I just would like to speak in favor of this. I'm on the board for the first-time homebuyers, and it is just a wonderful program. It is, you see families for the first time in their lives stepping up and being able to buy a home. Better Housing does a wonderful job of preparing them for home ownership. There's a whole program that people go through in terms of learning how to handle their money, and it's a very positive kind of thing. It happens less and less these days because home ownership is not so much guaranteed as it was at one time, and so I think it's incredibly important that this program be supported to the every possible degree that it can be.
Thank you, Pam. Did you have a question, Carol?
This would broaden the discussion just a little bit if you allowed it, but so you could say no. I agree. This is obviously a high priority project, and I have full support for Better Housing and the support that we, you know, the use of these grant funds in that manner. While we have John here, I wonder if he would be interested in telling us anything about what he's seeing in the rise or fall of homeownership, and in particular anything about foreclosures. I mean, you read an awful lot in the national papers, and whether there's going to be money or not going to be money to help address that, is that something you're seeing we need to address here?
I have to say that Tompkins County in general has been very fortunate in that we have not seen the foreclosure numbers that have been talked about anywhere else in the rest of the country, and I think possibly certainly for this program, we have to deal with local lenders. That's written into the grant, and so we're dealing with local lenders, which are pretty conservative. And so we have avoided some of the practices that have gotten home buyers in other parts of the country into trouble. So I certainly think that that's one aspect of it. Because of the workshops and the one-on-one counseling that is made available to folks, they get credit counseling, and we've worked with some folks up to 2 years to get their credit to the point where they can go to a local lender, a local institution, and get a first mortgage. We're providing some financial assistance, certainly, but their credit rating and their budgeting going forward needs to be such that they can go to a local lending agency and get a first-time mortgage. So the rate of folks getting into financial trouble that have gone through our program is under 3%. So those numbers remain good. In that respect, I think that the program speaks for itself in terms of keeping people out of financial trouble. The number of people that avail themselves of the program goes up and down a little bit. There was a point when the government was offering an $8,000 tax break to folks that were pursuing home ownership, and so we were very busy there for several months. That was followed right on the heels by that program going away and the economy taking a downturn, so things got a little bit quiet. We certainly have seen in the last 6 to 8 months things start to pick back up. Realizing that the grants typically are in the $600,000 range, helping about 20 families. As I say, we've got perhaps 84 families right now signed up for the workshop, so the need will continue to outstrip the money, but we're excited about the opportunity. Thank you, Pam, for your support on that.
Thank you. I have a question for Ed. I think in the notice, the resolution about setting up these public hearings, there was a notice about a mention of public facilities as one of the possible uses of the money, and I wonder if you could describe what that is.
Well, the program does fund a number, potentially can fund a number of different things, including housing, public facilities. The key is that the benefit has to go to majority, or the benefit has to go to low to moderate income households. And typically, for a facilities type grant, you would either need to have a census tract where you majority of the population in the census tract met the income requirements, which we don't have many, if any, of those in Tompkins County. Or you'd have to do an income survey of all the people to be benefited in an area. Sometimes these funds are used to help supply other, you know, infrastructure such as sewer to an area that doesn't have a public sanitary sewer in an area where the incomes of the majority of the beneficiaries meet the income requirements. That's an example. There can be other things as well.
Okay, thank you very much. Mike?
Well, I think that's an important question. We've dedicated our community development block grant monies to the Better Housing first-time homeowner projects for, 20 years now. And it's done a wonderful job. I agree with Pam on that. But I think we need to carefully look every year at how we do this. For example, would it make sense to develop some money to extend sewers out Hanshaw Road to the mobile home parks that have no sewer development at this point? And I think you could certainly do a survey of an area like that and find that there are a lot of low to moderate income people that live in trailer parks that don't have those kind of services. So I'm not saying that we need to do it this year, but I think that there's other ways of approaching this than simply the first-time home buyer subsidies that we do with this program. And I think it's time we look at a wider expanse.
And that is the purpose of this hearing, for people to come forward with other ideas and for the legislature then to be able to consider those. Also, any municipality is also eligible to apply for this directly. So.
Okay. John?
Just to speak to Mr. Lane, last year we did partner with Tompkins Community Action, and we received a community development block grant that is for housing rehab with a focus on sewer systems and wells in rural Tompkins County. So typically these grants are two-year, and we took advantage of the fact that we had funding for the home buyer program last year and applied for and successfully received community development block grant money for rural Tompkins County for housing rehab.
Excuse me, John, you're talking about individual septic systems, not sewer systems.
Correct. Okay. Absolutely. Right. Yeah.
Well, that sounds like something that would be good for discussion at the PDEC committee. Not a month before the deadline for the grants, but looking ahead, it's a good idea. Okay. Any other comments as part of the public hearing? All right. I'll close the public hearing, and now I'll open the meeting of the Tompkins County Legislature for April 3rd. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call of members.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Present.
Mr. Stein?
Here.
Mr. Burbank?
Here.
Ms. Chalk?
I am here.
Mr. Dennis will be arriving later this evening. Ms. Herrera has asked to be excused, and Ms. Keeper will be arriving later this evening. Mr. Lane?
Here.
Ms. McAsey?
Present.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Present.
Mr. McKenna?
Here.
Mr. Proto?
Here.
Ms. Pryor?
Here.
Mr. Robison?
Here.
Ms. Robertson?
Here.
12 members present.
Proclamations, petitions, communications, and notices.
Communications are on the desks.
And I have two proclamations. I'd like to first invite Norma Jane to come up. Norma is the director of the, what's the name of the group?
Ithaca Board of Realtors.
Okay, thank you, Norma. Whereas April and Carol, come on up, Carol Bushberg.
Okay.
All right, great. President of the Board of Ithaca Board of Realtors, Carol, is that your position?
No,
your member.
I'm the chair of the Equal Opportunity.
Wonderful, thank you. Welcome and glad you're here. Whereas April 11, 2012 marks the 44th anniversary of the passage of the United States Fair Housing Law, Title 8 of the Civil Rights Act of 1968, as amended, which enunciates a national policy of fair housing without regard to race, color, creed, sex, disability, familial or marital status, national origin, age, blindness, hearing impairment, sexual orientation, military status, use of a hearing service or guide dog, and handicap, and encourages fair housing opportunities for all citizens. And whereas the Tompkins County Legislature, as well as the Ithaca Board of Realtors, are committed to highlight the Fair Housing Law, Title 8 of the Civil Rights Act of 1968, by continuing to address discrimination in our community, to support programs that will educate the public about the right to equal housing opportunities, and to plan partnership efforts with other organizations to help assure every American of their right to fair housing. Now, therefore, I, Martha Robertson, Chair of the Tompkins County Legislature, to hereby proclaim April 2012 Fair Housing Month, and begin a year-long commemoration of the United States Fair Housing Law in Tompkins County, New York, and urge all citizens to wholeheartedly recognize this celebration throughout the year.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Glad you're here. Thank you. Thank you.
I just wanted to say on behalf of the Ithaca Board of Realtors how important this initiative is to us and how impressed we were with your rapid response to our request. So thank you so much. Very proud to be part of this county.
Thank you very much. And the second proclamation. Good to see you both. Lee Shurtleff, Director of Emergency Communications, come on up. Whereas emergencies can occur at any time that require police, fire, or emergency medical services, and whereas when an emergency occurs, the prompt response of police officers, firefighters, and paramedics is critical to the protection of life and preservation of property, and whereas the safety of our police officers and firefighters is dependent upon the quality and accuracy of information obtained from citizens who telephone the Tompkins County 911 Communications Center, and whereas public safety telecommunicators are the single vital link for our police officers and firefighters by monitoring their activities by radio, providing the information, and ensuring their safety, and whereas public safety telecommunicators at the Tompkins County Department of Emergency Response have contributed substantially to the apprehension of criminals, suppression of fires, and treatment of patients, and whereas each dispatcher has exhibited compassion, understanding, and professionalism during the performance of their job in the past year, now, therefore, I, Martha Robertson, Chair of the Tompkins County Legislature, do hereby proclaim the week of April 8th through 14th, 2012, as Public Safety Telecommunications Week in Tompkins County, in honor of the men and women whose diligence and professionalism keep our county and citizens safe. Thank you, Lee.
I don't have much to add to those words, Martha, but I would point out that 2012 marks the 40th anniversary of the implementation of dispatch services in Tompkins County and the formalizing of dispatch operations. And August 3rd will be the 15th anniversary since we implemented 911 in Tompkins County. And I can tell you over those past 15 years, the one constant has been change. Change in technologies, change in needs, change in demands. and change in the public expectations that our staff work with day in and day out. And I would extend to you and the legislature and administration our appreciation for your support in the investment in technologies and investment in our human resources over the past few years. Our people couldn't meet the challenge without the commitment that the legislature has made to our public safety communications. And we thank you for this acknowledgement and for your support.
Thank you, Lee. Is there any member of the public who'd like to address the legislature? All right. Municipal official, Nauman, would you like to speak to us? Nauman Horowitz from the town of Ithaca. Come on up to the mic.
Well, you heard from me 2 weeks ago. I'm back again. The board has met once in that time, and there are a few things I can comment on that might be of interest to some of you. The first item is maybe slightly related to the award you just made. Some of us on the board are concerned that the town of Ithaca's emergency plan doesn't have much real substance, and it's our hope that the county has an emergency plan in place that has more substance than ours. At our last meeting, we met with Beth Harrington of the Tompkins County Department of Emergency Response, and I was somewhat dismayed to hear from her that their thought is that individual citizens are responsible for their own safety for the first 72 hours after an emergency. Now, if there's a big tornado that tears through Ithaca and flattens a lot of houses, the residents in those houses are not going to be in any position to take care of their needs during the first 72 hours. I hope the county has more in place than I'm aware of. Item two, the board discussed the question of supporting the Workers' Party demand for a living wage as opposed to an increase in the minimum wage. I think there's a clear majority of the board that will support this resolution, which I think will be presented and passed at the next meeting. There is a minority that believes that a 76% increase in what amounts to the minimum wage is going to be more harmful to unskilled workers than helpful. Item three, the board passed a resolution calling on the state to provide funds this year to attack the hydrilla problem. That seems to us to be a really big deal. And if any of you have any ideas of anything else the town can do that could be of any help in this matter, please let us know. And lastly, the Public Works Committee of the town is working on preparation of a road preservation law. And we are inclined to follow the work that the county has done in developing such a law. Don Barber has organized a Town of Caroline Road Preservation Committee looking to establish a law for the town. At the first meeting of this committee, Professor Lynn Irwin, who was a Cornell expert on roads, gave an interesting talk in which he said you can, given normal traffic on a particular road, you can predict the lifetime of that road 6 months down the line, to plus minus 10%, plus minus 25%, depending on the road. That means if heavy trucks use that road in addition to the normal traffic, you can then determine the reduced lifetime of that road And this forms a very, to me, useful quantitative basis for determining how much you charge the heavy truck project. I haven't seen any of this language in either the county's law or in the town's law so far, but I think it's something that I hope will be considered seriously. End of my comments.
Thank you very much, Nauman. Any questions? I've got Brian, Nathan, Pat.
Yeah. In response to your initial concern, the emergency response for towns, it's my understanding that each town is responsible to come up with their own emergency response plan, and the county can actually help you as far as, you know, an example to do that. What they really need is your availability of equipment, spaces to take waste that could happen in an emergency, that sort of stuff. They then become the repository for all the jurisdictions within the county, and also deal above them to FEMA. I don't know what the status of the town's emergency response plan is, but I know that they're looking for them. And probably what we could do to better answer that is to just have Lee address the topic, I would think.
I can tell you one simple thing, and that is if you had a tornado and you had lots of people homeless, you better have some place for them to go and sleep. That has to be done ahead of time, and I know that the town has not produced any such list. I think the town is hoping the county has, but I'm not sure that that's in fact the case.
I guess what I'm trying to say is it's incumbent upon the town to do that plan so that they know where these locations are, and they then become the repository for all that information. Am I correct in that, Lee? I mean, why don't we?
I think it's a coordinated effort, but Lee, you want to come up to the microphone?
Just a couple of points. The county does have a very extensive set of emergency management plans. Probably the main plan itself is that thick. What we're doing at this point is encouraging each township to add to that with individual town emergency response plans that enable us to access your resources, your employees, your facilities, your equipment to be part of a coordinated response. With regard to the 72 hours, that is a number, that is a period of time that we encourage every resident in the county to be as self-sufficient as they possibly can be. If there is a power outage, if the heat is out, if the stores are closed, the roads are impassable, we want people to be able to be as self-sufficient as they can within their homes as that will allow, as safety will allow for that period of time. Because it takes a period of time to bring in state and federal resources when the events occur. Now, in the case of a tornado or a hurricane or some type of event that displaces people or causes large-scale disruption, there are, in fact, plans in place that would allow us to open shelters and to move people to safety. And we would certainly address that with those impacted populations. But again, our ability to do that and do it effectively means that the public at large needs to be as independent and self-sufficient as they can, while those people directly impacted by an event can be taken care of by the government resources. And it would take, in an event like that, it would take the collective resources of all of our municipalities, local governments, and organizations who comprise this emergency management plan to effectuate that response.
If I hear you saying that work has been done already to line up facilities that can house people, we don't know about it. Who should we talk to?
Well, there's a county comprehensive emergency planning committee that is organized and meets on a quarterly basis and a number of subcommittees within that. We also have a human services, human needs task force, that is embarked on updating sheltering plans for the county, and our county health department and county department of social services are also a part of that planning mechanism.
But is Beth Harrington the person to talk to for the emergency?
Beth is one of the assistant directors in my office that works directly on those plans.
Yes. Okay, we didn't hear from her that any such lineup of churches, et cetera, exists today.
There are some agreements in place. Those are being updated. The Red Cross in the past has been the front lead agency on it. The county is taking a more proactive role in beginning to organize that inventory of shelters and potential human needs responses. But it's a dynamic, it's an ongoing process, and part of what we do is help to put together agreements with the various agencies or facilities to make them available in the event of a storm.
I think the plan that you're talking about, this thick, was completed maybe 8 years ago, 7 or 8 years ago, and so maybe the current leadership isn't aware of it, but I think most municipalities in the county were either involved in that, developing that plan, or at the time developed their own. I think Dryden, my town, had developed its own plan. So I think the first step is to familiarize yourselves with what already is in place. I've got a list of folks, so thank you very much, Lee. I'm glad you're here. Nathan, Pat, Pam, Peter, and Will.
I just wanted to add on emergency preparedness. That's actually one of the areas that I'm in charge of at Robert Packer Hospital. And so, in addition, all hospitals have to have a 72-hour plan in place, too, in which we have to assume the highest surge that would happen in a disaster. So let's say if the average capacity of the hospital is, say, 240 beds, but we know a disaster could lead to 300, we have to plan for that 300. And we have to have enough water, medical supplies, and shelter, and beds, and personnel for that 72-hour period at the very least. And so that's something that all hospitals are required to have by not federal law, but by our regulatory agency, which is the Joint Commission, which is what Medicare uses to basically have regulations over hospitals.
Thanks, Nathan. Pat?
Yes, and on the question of emergency response, I received, and I think we all received, an email, maybe it was just today, that Irene Weiser, who's on the Caroline Town Board, has organized for elected officials in the county, so this would include the town of Ithaca, two Saturday mornings of training on emergency response, and that will be taking place on the 21st of April from 9 to 12 in the morning, and on the 12th of May from 9 to 12 in the morning. So if you don't have that in your email, let me know and I'll see to it that you get the notice. I think you might find it very helpful in this situation. The other thing is, I think in response to a question from Martha, Irene answered that this training is, if you can't make both sessions, you can come to one or the other, or you can, they also are available online. It's preferable if you can be there in person so that you have the interaction and the opportunity to ask questions, but that's something you might want to.
Well, if you could send an email, it would be helpful to know who the people are involved, and
okay,
we can talk to them.
That went out to the full TCOG list, so Herb would have gotten that. Maybe not every town board member, but Herb should have that in his inbox.
Okay.
Okay. And, yeah, ask him to forward it.
Good.
To all board members if they're interested, and staff, too. Thanks, Pam. Pat. Pam?
I pass.
Peter?
Yeah, this is a complicated situation. There are lots of people involved. There's the state, there's the federal government, FEMA, there's the county, there are individual towns. All have their own resources. And by the way, I mean, you woke me up when you told me that about the 72 hours, and I myself will look into that to try to understand it. But it did occur to me sitting here that you can't, you know, suppose something totally unpredicted, like an earthquake, happens in Tompkins County. You can't
believe, you can't expect that all of these agencies will instantaneously be in their final configuration. And it certainly behooves individuals, I don't know for how long, but to think themselves as to what they're going to do if they have no power, if they have no water, if the roads are not passable. I don't know, but no way to get food. It certainly is a good idea to have them do that. But it's also clear to me that the idea of a town, I don't exactly understand how a town and a county have their own individual disaster plans without interacting with each other. And that's one of the things I'm intending to look into just in the past 5 minutes, okay? Thank you.
Good.
I think they're layered. I think they, yeah. Will and then Carol.
Thank you, Martha. As you were coming in tonight, I bumped into Lee, and I asked him about this email, and I didn't know the name, but I gathered these are fairly generic orientations from the federal government. One is the introduction to NIMS, the National Incident Management System, and the other is Incident Command System. And so we're not, am I right, Lee, that we're probably not going to learn much about the local situation, but sort of the large legal structure that
all
exists.
Elected
okay. I do think, and now I thank you for bringing this to our attention. I'm glad that Peter will be talking about it. I do think that there's some public education that needs to happen. I have read that we should be prepared for 72 hours, but to be honest with you, I haven't taken the steps to really think through what that would be. And I think we could be doing some community education that this is something that just that we want to encourage everybody to be thinking about and doing. So, thank you.
So there will be a run on bottled water when we go home tonight. Carol.
Yeah, Will went where I was going to go. I just, given the range of responses to this issue being raised, it would seem that we have the big complicated plan. We just have to, and I know I have seen information in the past couple of years, the simplified, what to do if you're in an emergency, what should you have on hand, the sort of 1 to 2 page version. It does seem like maybe it's time for another round of communications, public information. Where do I go if I'm a town and I want to educate myself, or a public member of the public and want to educate myself? And I don't know if I guess it's public safety committee that we would refer this to think about. Mm-hmm. Is there another round of public education, or have we done that? Do we just send it around again? Do we put a link on the front page or send it to the towns? So how we do that? But that seems to be the issue more than that we don't have the big, thick, complicated plan.
Do you want to respond to that, Lee?
Carol, I think that's what started it. Yes, there our staff has been working to meet with the municipalities over the past year and have hit just about every town, and I believe Beth had attended a meeting with the town of Ithaca to outline what types of emergency plans the municipality should have in place, and what you're indicating is that there's a lot of work to be done there so that we've got those guys. But part of what we're also looking at is continuity of operations and knowing your facilities. If you have water and sewer systems and so on, are you prepared to keep those running for a period of time? And all of this factors into what the towns may want to prepare to also fold into overall countywide response.
So, and on this training, who are you expecting to come? Are you expecting every member of every public body to come?
I believe this is an open invite to elected officials from throughout the county to familiarize them with the role of municipalities in an emergency response and the National Incident Management System that all is an umbrella over the coordination of all emergency activities. It's adopted by presidential order back after the Hurricane Katrina and Rita events 7 or 8 years ago.
And there was some information circulating that if any town didn't have 100% participation, they wouldn't be eligible for emergency funding?
I'm not sure exactly
okay.
What context that was
right.
in, but
okay.
every every local government, every county government, every state government is expected to be in compliance, similar to we talk about compliance plans within other contexts. And we're all, it's intended from the federal level down that every municipality, every public body be familiar with the National Response Plan and the roles of local governments in that and what your roles and responsibilities as elected officials are. And that's what the training is meant to do, is familiarize elected officials with those roles and responsibilities.
I'd like to calm everybody down. We're in good hands. The plans exist. The facilities exist. We have to update it all. And especially for smaller, it's important for smaller municipalities that don't have significant staff. And, you know, the supervisor might be really the one, the sort of incident commander. I don't know. So, you know, we're in a little bit different situation than that. Frank, Patton, and Mike.
Thanks, Martha. Two issues. One is what has been described about the NIMS and the upcoming training that Irene circulated the information on. The other is more or less what Carol was referring to. A number of years ago, and I think it was after Katrina, cooperative extension, every volunteer fire department, our emergency services put out a series of brochures that told you how much water to keep on hand, how much food you should have in dry storage, make sure that your flashlight has batteries, and make sure that you have a crank-up radio so you could, one that generates when you rotate it. Believe me, if you keep candles on hand and whatnot, it is not, you don't have to panic, as Martha said. Some of us keep that stuff on hand anyway, because with all due respect to NYSEG, the power goes out periodically, and guess what? You have to make do and reset all your digital clocks. So Cooperative Extension had a list of that. I think Beth Harrington organized the distribution of that material a couple of years ago. And Peter, the stuff exists that tells you what to do for the first 72 hours. And we're all adults. It's not a panic situation. When the ice storm came through a number of years ago and wiped out the southern part of the county, if you remember that, we were out for almost 5 days. We all survived. And just keep a blanket on hand and make sure that, you know, you have adequate water and food. But those lists exist. Thanks for reminding us, Carol.
Pat.
The things that I have wanted to say have pretty much been said, so I'll pass.
Okay, Mike?
I'm really glad we're having the discussion. I'm glad that no one brought it up, because this is something we should be thinking about all the time. That's why we have an office. We are so much further advanced in the last 30 years than we were to deal with these kinds of disasters. We have people thinking about this. As we densify more in Ithaca and in town of Ithaca, people live in apartments. They don't have 3 days supply of water and food very often. Will the toilets flush? So I think it's a good thing to be thinking about here. We could have a tornado, or what I always worry about is we get an ice storm like they had in the North Country, or we've seen in Caroline, less populated, but we get one of those that hits the whole county and takes down our wires in the middle of February in a real winter, we'll know what a disaster is all about. So we got to keep this on the front burner all the time, and we need to think about the layers as you've talked about, because I was a mayor in the village of Dryden. We had a flood, and the county did nothing. I was on this legislature when we had a tornado in the village of Dryden, and the county did nothing. I remember questioning what kind of plan we had at that time, and they trotted out the plan. It was all about how they reimbursed each other and for the highway departments for use of machinery. That was it. So The town of Dryden, as you mentioned, has done a wonderful job. They got an award from the State Emergency Management Office for their planning, and the county's done a great job, and we just want to make sure everybody's on. And as we get new elected officials that aren't aware of this, they need to be educated, as Pat has told us.
All right. Thank you very much. Anything else for Nauman? Nauman, thank you very much. We enjoy having you come. All right. Legislator privilege of the floor. Anyone? Peter.
Well, I can keep continuing the same conversation. I just wanted to report on a couple of experiences that I'm aware of having to do with disasters. But my daughter, who lives in Middletown, Connecticut, which is a town roughly the size of Ithaca, they were without, last winter, they got an ice storm and were without power for a week. And it's amazing how people survive. Without power, you couldn't drive on the roads. There were trees down all over everywhere. And they really were isolated. And but, you know, somehow they survived. But the other thing I wanted to talk about is, I don't think I brought this up before here, but about a month ago, or sometime between 1 month ago and 2 months ago, a colleague of mine at Cornell walked into my office. He's a guy about my age, a little bit younger, and said, "I think I'm having a heart attack." And I didn't know what to do. I'd never read anything. I had no idea what to do. But one thing I did know is dial 911. I couldn't figure out, actually, whether I was at Cornell, so before making an outside call, you'd dial 9. So I didn't know whether I was supposed to dial 9911 or 911. And I thought about it, and I thought, well, the worst thing to do is to sit and think about it too long. So I dialed 911, and I got through. And I was really impressed about the speed and the professionalism and just how well the whole thing was handled. And 10 minutes after I came to the decision that I should dial 911 instead of 9911, my colleague was in an ambulance outside in the Cornell parking lot and off to the hospital. He's fine, but really it was impressive to see how all those resources were brought to bear in such a short time. And I'm constantly impressed with how well that's done. So just wanted to say that.
Thank you, Peter. Lee, you should come back to every meeting. Okay. Anyone else? All right. From my report, I think you've probably seen reports on the state budget by now. To summarize, it's not bad. And Joe will probably have a few words to say, but it seems that we didn't get the mandate relief that has been advertised, at least not for 2012, but we also didn't get a lot of new cost shifts that we have been used to over the years. Last year was $1.2 million in new things that we had to do that the state withdrew or reduced reimbursements. So $1.2 million in new cost shifts last year. It looks like that's not happened this year. So we are, hopeful that it will be not as bad a year as last year, but of course anything can still happen and probably will. So the big news locally about the budget is that we were successful in getting funding put into the budget for invasive species eradication, and it's not exactly got hydrilla on the check yet, but we have a lot of assurance that that's the intention. And I am grateful to Joe for leadership on knocking down a lot of doors at the state and with other counties and with the whole community to lobby about this issue, which is, you know, took quite a bit of education. I mean, you couldn't just walk up to somebody and say hydrilla and they know what you're talking about. So it really was, I think, quite an accomplishment, and I want to thank you for what you've done. It looks I think the Hydrilla Task Force, in particular Craig Shutt, is already on the case as far as the next step of applying specifically for the funds, and Senator O'Mara's office is working with us on that. I will say that our three senators were allies with us, Assemblywoman Lifton as well, but probably especially Senator O'Mara was really, in particular, well-educated and very aggressive in lobbying on this issue. So many thanks for that. Ed Marks and I were at the city today for a we participate every month in an economic development meeting with their staff. And there was conversation about hydrilla and dredging, which is, you know, that fun combination when you think about, you know, what dredging means to you know, as far as spreading the tubers that are in the ground. It now appears that the state is taking this extremely seriously. When the Army Corps of Engineers issued a notice that the inlet had failed, or the inlet was too shallow to qualify for flood relief, and therefore we'd be at risk of losing FEMA funding because there's not an adequate flood channel, it became very clear. It's the DEC's responsibility to make sure that channel is clear. And so I think they are, we've heard that they're sort of moving into higher gear, maybe actually high gear, on this issue. And so that was very encouraging to hear. I think there'll be a lot of activity and maybe some quicker decisions made than have been in the past. So that's sort of the content. I have a couple of awards I want to give out, certificates. First, I don't have a certificate, but I'd like to have, remember in preschool, like you'd get a little crown if it were your birthday? I meant to make one for Mr. 100% Frank Proto. For perfect attendance last year in 2011. Thank you, Frank. Unique among us. Well done. And I'd like to call up Carol Chalk to recognize your 5 years. What?
He was here 100%.
Well, you can come up, Frank. In recognition of 5 years of outstanding service to Tompkins County.
Hey, all right.
And Michael Lane, in recognition of 15 years of outstanding service to Tompkins County. It's great to have that kind of service, and we really appreciate it. And Frank will make you a certificate.
I want a gold.
A gold? We'll get a gold seal. All right. That's my report. Joe?
Thanks, Martha. I have a short report tonight. I think you've characterized the state budget well. I mean, I don't think there's really much more to be said about it. The governor basically kept everything where it was the year before. There was one exception to it, and we've talked about that. And that's youth. And there's a resolution that's making its way through committees right now. It went to Budget and Capital at the last meeting to plug the gap left by the state budget. It's around $67,000. It'll come to Frank's committee next. And with that, I think we can plug the hole that was created by this budget. We can sustain youth programs for the balance of this year. And again, it will come to the full legislature at the next cycle. So all in all, I think we did fairly well. Budget talk leads to budget talk. I warned you last time that we'll begin talking about 2013 soon, and we are. I think the meeting wizard has gone out for a budget retreat that will be held in late April. Look for something from Andrea on a meeting wizard. And we need to set up our budget retreat for late April to begin talking about the 2013 budget. That's the kickoff to the next budget season. A couple of other items that aren't related to budget. I wanted to update you on the climate survey. You know, we've talked about that for a while. The survey is now done, collated, and brought into a summary report. It's being presented to the employees who completed that survey a while ago. I think it was about a year, year and a half ago it was taken. We're now presenting those findings to employees in a series of meetings. The next one is April 16th at 11 o'clock at the Human Services Building. These are for employees. I believe that Jim has agreed to put this on his agenda item also for the next budget committee so that legislators can take a look at the results of the survey. I think you'll find it an interesting document. The goal is to acquaint everybody with the results, and then so it doesn't just gather dust on the shelf, we will have a department head legislature retreat. We were hoping to do it in April, but it's going to bump up against the budget retreat. So sometime in May, have a retreat that the topic will be, what do we do now? What kind of training should we do that will come out of this report and so forth? So what's next? And we'll be alerting you more about that retreat as we develop the agenda details for it. Personnel items, I try to update you on these in an ongoing way. The mental health position, we're midway through the interviews, the first round of interviews for that. We had interviews all day today. We will have interviews all day Friday to try to narrow the field. The goal is to get the whole process done by the end of April. There are 12 members of the search committee, including two legislators who are involved in that. The other one is highway. We did have interviews with finalists on highway. We're going to bring some back during the week of the 16th. A couple of legislators on that committee as well. I think there are 7 or 8 members of the search committee there. So hopefully as we round the corner towards spring and summer, we will be making some hiring decisions in these two important positions. Last thing I'll say, it's a response to Mr. Horowitz and the comment about Cornell Roads and ways to measure impact on highways. He was right, that's not a part of our road preservation law. However, the road preservation law does talk about how we need to measure damage, have to estimate it and then calculate it. And you know that we're about to sign a contract with Labella. In fact, I think there's money in here for that with Labella Engineers to do that kind of damage assessment work. And among the choices we'll have on specific ways to measure damage is exactly what the Cornell Roads Program described at the town hall meeting the other day. A couple of variations that we'll look at, that's one of them. So we haven't forgotten about that. The beauty of that kind of methodology and what we're trying to do at the county level is a town can adopt a road preservation law that has its own thresholds for weight and frequency. And the roads are different than ours. They probably will want to do something different. But the methodology we'll be developing here through the engineering contract is applicable no matter what your thresholds are for weight and for frequency. Damage is damage. So what we're trying to do is to get that in place so that towns can use this methodology once they develop their road preservation laws. So I think those are the only notes that I had for tonight, and that's my report.
Thank you, Joe. Do you have a date yet for the highway interviews?
I believe they're the 16th of this month.
Okay.
There was some that was getting a little fluid late today, but I know that the target date was the 16th.
And legislators are welcome to sit in on any of those?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. All right. And those are all in the old jail?
All in the old jail. I'll send time if you'd like.
Okay. Thanks very much. Frank and then Mike.
Thanks, Martha. Joe, can you take a minute and bring us up to speed on two different things? One is the collaborative effort that the county's making with the city on the Tiger grant and what the impact of that might be, the positive impact. The other is if there's any progress on the committees. Those special committees that
okay.
are
the work groups.
The work groups.
Yep.
Yeah. Thank you.
Sure. I sent, I think, all of you an email last week on some cooperative efforts that we're making with the city. Tiger Grant is separate and apart from some other grants that we're assisting the city with. But all these grants that I'll be talking about now, and we're going to spend more time tomorrow at PDAC.
Oh.
I looked at Pam. Will. We're going to spend some time at PDAC, I think. Briefing. They're all about the commons and about improvements to the commons and transit improvements in the area of the commons that will support what the city wants to do. Tiger Grant has been applied for, as I understand it, the last several years unsuccessfully by the city. the mayor has gotten some advice from folks in Washington saying that in addition to submitting a Tiger grant this year that everybody and their brother competes for, there are other sources of federal money that might be available, and it might make sense not to put all your eggs into one basket, the Tiger basket, but ask for a variety of funding sources, and maybe a little bit from here and a little bit from there might, when you put them all together, might develop a project. So that's the basic lay of the land. As it turns out, several of those grants, either two or three of those other grants, are FTA, Federal Transit Administration grants, that several of you are familiar with because that's how we fund a lot of what we do at TCAT. And as you know, we have to apply for those kinds of grants. So we need to be a conduit to help the city access those grants. The city asked for us to take that role, to be that conduit. And we have done that. We've agreed to partner with them. As a part of what we do, and again, we'll go through more of the details tomorrow in committee.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get you.
No, and if I go long, just give me that look. As a part of what we do, there is some administrative work that we will need to do. And you know that from what we do with TCAT right now. The way the grants have been structured, at least the last two of the three grants, is there would be money requested as a part of the grant to cover whatever overhead the county would have to bear to administer those grants. The regulatory requirements on an FTA grant, you know, are significant, almost like an OMIG situation. So there might be some administrative burden that goes along with it, but we've asked the city, and the city has included a line item in the grant request to cover that cost. So it's a way that we can partner with the city to do something that's important for the city, and the exposure to us is quite minimal. I don't know if that was too long or too
short.
No,
that's good.
Yeah.
Mike?
Joan, do we have any update on some of the special legislation we've been looking for, particularly the legislation to allow the Soil Conservation Service to join our health insurance consortium?
Mike, no, we have not. And I haven't really followed up. I know Senator Seward was pretty active and pretty knowledgeable in that because of his committee position. We included that, you recall, in our meeting with Senator Seward and Dryden.
Yes.
And you're right, I will follow up on that. I haven't heard any progress there. And I realize I didn't answer your other question, Frank, about work groups. We have three now that are going, two of which involve legislators. One relates to compensatory time for management employees and the payment of that time when they leave. That group had its second meeting last week. Probably two or three, maybe more, that will be needed to bring that group to closure. So that's one. The second one that involves the legislature, I'm drawing a blank.
IT.
Information technology. Thanks. That group has met once. That group will be trying to work out a strategic plan for information technology. Had a great first meeting. Second meeting is coming up within the next week or two. So that's now in progress. The third doesn't involve legislators, but we're looking at our fleet and the way we manage and maintain our fleet. Currently, it's a very decentralized operation. Every department that has any vehicles maintains those vehicles, buys them when it's time to buy them. We want to take a look at whether there are different models to manage and maintain the fleet. Does a central fleet maintenance operation make any sense? Could Ithaca Car Share play a role in some of our fleet needs and so forth? So there's an internal group of departmental people who have now met once and will meet more to talk about that.
Thank you.
And Mike, I think legislation like that measure you're talking about, I think they've got lots of time now that they've finished the budget to work on things like that. So now's a good time to remind them, and I hope that happens. I meant to also include in my report just a brief update on Medicaid, on the administrative issues that I talked about last meeting. It appears that the Assembly and Senate basically went along with the governor on the timing of the Medicaid, of taking over the growth. It looks like they also basically went along with him also on the technical details on Medicaid administration. So that, I think there was a little bit of trimming around the edges, but basically that effort of the State Department of Health working on the the takeover is going to go ahead. So, and there, I think our work, the work group I was part of, is basically morphing into a work group of commissioners of social services working with the Department of Health. They're the folks who really have to be part of that. So that's going ahead. All right. Anything else? Thank you. County Attorney Jonathan Wood.
I don't have a report, but I do have something to add. I
don't have a report, but I do have something to add on the individual emergency preparation issue, only because I find it interesting. Walmart, as you all know, is our largest retailer, has done a lot of research and gathered a lot of data on what it is that individuals buy and get in the event of natural disasters like hurricanes and floods. And interestingly, the thing that people buy most when there's natural disasters like hurricanes and floods is strawberry Pop-Tarts. and that's true. That's my report.
That's interesting. Without power to toast them or anything? Peter, did you have anything?
I guess the lesson that is clear is that the health department should really put together a large supply of strawberry Pop-Tarts so that everyone can survive.
Thank you for enlightening us, Jonathan. All right. We do not have a finance director tonight. He is at the finance school that's put on by NYSAC in Albany. And so are there any resolutions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda? Pat?
I'd like to add a resolution from the Broadband Committee called the Acceptance of Park Foundation Grant to Support County Broadband Survey and Community Engagement Forums.
Is there a second? Second by Dave. Then we need 10 votes to put this on the agenda. All in favor of putting on the agenda tonight, please raise your hand. Opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you, Pat. Anything else? All right, then I will read the items for the consent agenda, and let me know if there's anything to be taken off. Resolution A, appointment of hearing panel members, temporary board of assessment review. Resolution B, increase. Okay, then it's a short consent agenda. I have one appointment to the Environmental Management Council, Derek Evanson. A motion on the consent agenda. Moved by Frank, seconded by Carol.
I'm sorry, Marcia, I have a question.
Yeah.
Which one was taken off?
B.
B, okay, wasn't sure. Okay, thank you.
Okay. And there are only two resolutions, seconded by Carol. All in favor of the consent agenda, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Leslie McDean-Claiborne, Chair.
WDIC met on March 28th. Joe shared in his report some of what we talked about and what's been happening. We began our first set of reports to county employees on the results of the climate survey that very day, March 28th, of the Highway Department. It's not just, I want to emphasize that it's not just for the department at which is that's hosting the meeting, so others can come from other departments, other county employees can come and participate. At the Highway Department, we did have members from the Youth Bureau, the County Youth Bureau, Department of Social Services, and I don't remember where else. Very good discussion. Employees in that session certainly were interested in the where do we go from here conversation. They had a lot to share. So, and we're very excited to hear about the results and to share their comments, those who particularly may not have had an opportunity to participate in the survey. We also had the opportunity to watch a video from the City of Seattle. The City of Seattle has a race and social justice initiative project they have been doing for a number of years. And we wanted to share as a committee just some of the good work that's been happening and see what are some of those things that perhaps we can do here as we continue our diversity and inclusion initiative. Very good video. I'm hoping that it's very short. I think it's only about 14 minutes long. And I'm hoping at some point all of us will be able to see it. I don't remember the website right now to share with you. And we also, as a committee, considered and passed a resolution in support of increasing the minimum wage that's being considered in the state at this point, and not just increasing the minimum wage. We'd like to support the minimum wage at least being increased to $8.50. It pretty much mirrors what the town had considered, the town of Ithaca. But an additional part of it is also encouraging the state to consider moving that number to what we have here as a living wage number. So that resolution went from WDIC. It will be going to Budget Committee next and hopefully to this full body, perhaps early May. That's my report.
Thank you, Leslin. Are there any questions? Peter.
Hi, Leslin. I didn't quite understand. Did you say that you're going to bring something that suggests that we should raise it to the so-called living wage?
The resolution does say that. The resolution supports at least up to the $8.50 being considered in the state, but also be encouraging the state to consider moving it further up to the living wage level.
Okay, thank you.
Julie.
An additional comment on that topic. I'm glad that you distinguished between the two, because there's no state definition of a living wage, and ours may be good for us, but it's foolish to say it's.
And there's an explanation that
says.
So
thank you for doing that.
Where it came from, yes.
All right. Thank you very much, Leslin. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Health Committee will meet a week from today. I just wanted to echo the item that Joe already mentioned regarding the Mental Health Commissioner's search. We may be getting an update by next week from Frank Krupa regarding the status of anything going on at the state level regarding the CHA, but that's up in the air right now. I think that's about it, Martha. We haven't had a
resolution
B was pulled. Let me I'll move it. Increase in hours for administrative assistant, Tompkins County Mental Health Department.
Second by Will.
Dooley, you pulled it. Go ahead.
I did, just because I had a question. It's not clear from the way this resolution is worded whether the available funds will just cover 2012.
Whether the available funds, I didn't hear the last part.
Whether the funds will just cover the balance of this year.
I believe they will, and that the position will become permanent until we decide not to do it any longer. But it's a shift. Did you see the explanation that the Budget Committee received?
No.
let me just read this. The background. The primary function of this position is to organize, record, file, and pull medical charts from the records unit. Our evolving electronic medical records program allows for many of these tasks to be done electronically and has also provided scanning capabilities. The department reorganized and made decreases of 1.5 FTEs within this unit over the last 2 years while implementing the EMR program, the electronic medical records program. It's become increasingly clear that the additional 5 hours a week will allow the unit to perform the necessary duties and to respond to the increasing demands and continuing requirements for the Office of Medical Inspector General and the State Department of Mental Health. So I suspect it will become permanent, but the funds that are in this resolution now are for the rest of this year. Okay.
Yes, I think it's important for us as legislators to know whether something is likely to need additional money in the next budget, and that's really what I was curious about.
I suspect it will.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Ready to vote? All in favor of Resolution B, please raise your hand. That's unanimous. Thank you, Frank.
You bet.
Let's see. Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Carol Chalk, Chair.
Facilities and Infrastructure Committee will meet this Friday, April 6th at 9:45. Note that that's a three quarters through the hour. In addition to other items, we will be looking at shared services related to solid waste and facilities, bridges, and public art. We will be looking at a resolution to be able to bring back the complete design in a way that works of the mural for the old library. So if you're interested in those topics, please come participate.
Yeah, Resolution C.
Oh, sorry. Yes, we have. I have a resolution. Resolution C in your packets, budget appropriation for the highway division, and I so move.
Is there a second? Seconded by Dooley. Any discussion? It's a short form roll call.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Would anyone wish to be recorded as no? That's unanimous. Thank you, Carol. Capital Plan Review Committee, Michael.
I have a question. When Carol mentioned public art, I've noticed that some of our buildings have been tagged by the public artists we have in the county, and I would dearly love to have them tag the old library if we could somehow get that information out to people.
There's stuff on the outside of this building.
It doesn't matter where it is. They're,
no, I know.
They're public county buildings.
Right.
And,
yeah.
Where
it's annoying.
Which buildings?
This building.
Public this county buildings.
The southwest corner of this building, right.
Ah.
Yeah. I keep meaning to tell a rel, and, you know, I'm always leaving the building when I notice it. All right, we'll get word so that he takes care of that. Thank you, Jim. Capital Plan Review Committee, Mike Lane, Chair.
We have not met since our last legislative meeting. But I want to thank everybody for giving us the time at our last special legislature meeting last week to look at the project for moving to the old courthouse and giving your support to the plan that was brought forth by the committee. That will be moving forward. And our next regular meeting of the CPR committee is going to be held on Wednesday, April 18th at 3:30. So we'll have another meeting in the legislature before we have a meeting of that committee.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Thank you, Mike. Government Operations Committee, Dooley Kiefer, Chair.
Our next meeting will be Friday, April 13th at 9:30, from 9:30 to 12. The agenda hasn't been set yet, but I'm sure it's going to be really interesting. I have two resolutions, Resolution D, appropriation from contingent fund, terminal pay, information technology services. I move it.
Seconded by Leslie. Are there any questions? There's a memo in your packet from Greg. This is a short form roll call.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Anyone wish to be recorded as no? That's unanimous.
And Resolution E, authorization to increase hours, programmer, analyst, information technology services. I move that.
Seconded by Leslin. Any discussion? All in favor of Resolution E?
That's the one with the explanation in the packet.
Oh, that's the explanation. Okay. Thank you, Julie. Ready to vote? All in favor of Resolution E?
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. Is that your report? Thank you very much. Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee. Will Burbank, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We will be meeting tomorrow, which is the 4th of April, 3:30. And among the things we'll be discussing will be the draft RFP for the Biggs property complex, which Ed will be bringing, sharing with the committee, and then hopes to get out relatively soon thereafter. We'll be hearing a report on the joint stream and road projects from Craig Schutt, who's also going to be giving an update on the hydrilla situation, which I sent out a notice to all of you about the monthly events that they're doing this spring on hydrilla happy hour. I caught a part of the last one. It was excellent, and I would strongly encourage people to go to the next one, which is coming up on the 25th of April, down at Quirks in
Moore.
Thank you. Sharon Anderson and from Cooperative Extension and other folks on the task force did an excellent job of sort of making people aware of where things stand, what can be done. One of the things that I learned and I was surprised to was that I guess I have been aware that hydrilla can be spread by boat traffic, but I had not realized that this could be small boat traffic. A canoe and whatever can do as much damage. And there's a lot that needs to be done in the coming months just to make boaters, anybody in the water, aware of not spreading this. At any rate, that's tomorrow. And the last thing we're going to be talking about is a whole series of tourism awards. If you want to find out some of the money that will be going into your districts, come on down. Thank you.
Thank you, Will. And there's a public meeting on hydrilla. I mean, it's sort of real, more formal, I suppose. April 12th, 4:30 to 6 at Cornell Plantations at their Welcome Center. So I know they're advertising that, too. I mean, it really is important that the public's aware of what's going on. Any questions for Will? Carol?
Yeah, do you have on the agenda anything about the tourism plan?
Yes, we'll be doing the, not the plan, the bylaws.
The bylaws. Yes. Okay.
Peter?
Can swimmers carry the hydrilla?
In theory, yes. I think it's that's what's particularly scary about it. Just the tiny, this little bit of this substance can be spread. And as you may recall, Peter, last fall we had gotten a permit to use an herbicide on a portion of the inlet and then discovered there was another portion that where it also exists. And they sent in teams of divers to try to pull it out by hand. And they discovered, it was an interesting experiment, but they discovered literally that action was helping to spread it and was not being effective to collect it. So,
just wear Speedos.
A lot of grief.
Any other questions for Will?
That is like a horror movie.
It is. It literally is.
The Blob.
Will?
Yes.
Heard third hand, so I want to check with you whether it's actually happened or not, that the city had on its own dredged Lindeman Creek completely, which was one of the areas that had the thickest infestation.
And indeed, it was where it was first discovered, actually.
So,
but I have not heard that. I have not. So I will try to see if I will ask it.
Pat?
The question I have is with plans to dredge the inlet, how is that going to impact the hydrilla situation?
It's an excellent question, and hopefully Craig will be able to enlighten us a little bit tomorrow. But I don't know, Martha, do you
Yeah,
know?
If you do it right, it can speed up the eradication process. If you do it wrong,
it
can make it worse.
Yeah.
So basically it means instead of clearing the channel in the middle of the inlet, because it's cheaper just to do that, make that part deep and not worry about the edges, that was the original plan. To do the right job, you'd want to scrape everything edge to edge, which means you're going to have much more material to get rid of. So it's more expensive to do it, but you can really be much more sure of getting rid of it, and it could be helpful in the long run. So I think they're actually aware of that, and I have
probably
some,
cheaper in the long run.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. All right, thank you. Thank you, Will. Broadband Committee, Pat Pryor, Chair.
Yes, thank you. Broadband Committee met on March 26th. We had a very good meeting, lots of lively discussion. And one of the things that we are going to be moving forward on is the development of a business plan, which will very clearly spell out a plan for implementation. This will be something that will be, I think, useful not only to the county for planning purposes, but something that we can share with the community. We've had a lot of community input from our forums that we've been doing, and a lot of people are wanting to know basically the two questions that Dave asked before, how soon and how much. And I think this kind of plan that we're talking about developing will help to address that question, and also it will be useful as we continue to search for funding sources, because it's something that I think potential funders would want to see and might lend some weight to a grant application. So we're going to be focusing on that for the coming months. We'll probably be getting some support from staff in doing that. I wanted to mention, by the way, that staff has been very helpful in what we've been doing since we started working in January. Lee Shurtleff particularly has been very helpful to us, and I wanted to thank him. Our next community meeting will be held in Ulysses at the Ulysses Town Hall at 7 o'clock on April 11th. And there will be one more coming up in May. I'll announce that one closer to the date. Our next meeting of the Broadband Committee will be on April 23rd. At 5:30 in the Borg Warner Room of the Tompkins County Public Library. We'd be happy to have anyone attend from the public that would like to, or anybody from the legislature, of course, that would like to attend those meetings. They're all open to the public. And unless someone has some questions, I'll go ahead and move our resolution.
Any questions? Go ahead.
Okay. I'd like to move the following resolution, which is in your red folders. Acceptance of Park Foundation grant to support County Broadband Survey and Community Engagement Forums. And I so move.
Second by Pam. Any discussion? I think this is terrific. Yeah. This is really great. Thank you. And I actually just want to also mention that I hope your committee is thinking ahead to the next round of consolidated funding application grants through the regional councils. May or June would be when those are going to be coming out.
Okay.
Thanks. Ready to vote? All in favor of Resolution F, please raise your hand.
Aye.
That's unanimous. Thank you, Pat.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee, Jim Dennis.
Thank you. In my attempt to not get this meeting over with too early, because no one would know what to do if it ended this soon, at our Budget Committee meeting a few weeks ago, we talked about some things that, and I generally don't report on things that aren't resolutions, but we talked about some significant things that I think we have to have in our radar as we move forward in the budget process. Joe had and I believe with Kevin's help and David's input, a primer on fund balance, because that was a question asked by Peter Stein, who's not a member of the committee, but clearly was wanted to know about this. And Joe put together a slideshow and an explanation about fund balance and what it means and how it's key to us as we go through the budget process every year. It points out every fund that we have that is in county transportation, county roads, special grant, all them, all there, told about them, how much money there were in them. And I think it's valuable information that many times during the budget process for the last 2 years, I've seen hands raised and said, well, how much do we have in this one and that one? And it's a really concise way that you can find out that information, and I'm sure it's available to all of you. And second thing, most of you have seen every month this item. Hopefully it gets in your mailboxes. It's the budget and fiscal indicator summary. And I was looking at it with a lot of interest recently after we got it, and just comparing some things that have happened 2 years ago to right now. It should be in your mailbox, and we'll make sure you have it, okay, in the future. 2 years ago, the Dow was at 10,300. It's up 2,600 points in 2 years. 2 years ago, we were getting 0.69% interest on our investments. Now we're getting 0.25. The unemployment rate 2 years ago was 5.5. It's still 5.5. We have the price of gas 2 years ago was $2.70. It's now $4 and roughly $4. And I think as we go through the budget process, again, this is information that we should all have every month, and it will be provided to us. I think they're going to add to it the room tax numbers every month that we can see. And it's significant and really illustrating what's going on in the economy, not only locally but nationwide. Some of our numbers have sort of flattened out in the DSS area, and others inch up ever so slightly. But it's good information to have as we move through the summer and the fall. The final thing, Steve Estes, the Deputy Commissioner of Personnel, was there talking about the county's new online application process. If you want to be employed by us, the ability to do that, you can do that now online. You put your information on. You can consistently every day, every week, look at what jobs are available, change your resume a little bit if you need to do that. But these are all things that was a very difficult task a year ago. Now it's pretty simple. And I think Steve did a really good explanation of the system and how it's making it much more simple for people to apply for jobs. The downside of that is we have 50 less jobs this year than we had 2 years ago. So Tompkins County is not exactly the employment capital of the world right now. But as you move forward, our residents can now find out about us online in a really good process. The next meeting of the Budget Committee will be April 23rd. And as Joe mentioned in his report, we're looking for people to hit the meeting wizard so that we can have the retreat that we have every spring. Thank you. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer.
Thank you very much, Jim. Brian and then Mike.
Thanks. To piggyback on what Jim said, again, I got another problem again this week. Now I got 3 hours to fill up, but that's fine. With regards to the budget retreat, I would ask that this group consider, it's not a normal meeting. We do go out and discuss things on our own. I would like us to consider going out of the norm and getting out to just hold a meeting in a rural location, and I'll volunteer to find a place. Far too often I run into constituents that say, oh yeah, that's just an Ithaca thing. That's just you guys down there. You know, you guys don't really even know who we are. I dare say there's probably people sitting at this table
that would not be able to get to Groton without the assistance of Google Maps or something like that. But show of hands, who has never been to Groton? Anybody?
Ha.
Could you get there again?
Yeah.
We'll follow you.
I just ask that we consider and kind of move things like this around just to show the community that, yeah, we are out there. I mean, I drive down here for every meeting, you know. I guess it wouldn't hurt for folks to drive to another location. Just food for thought. Do with it what you may. That took up 2 of my 3 hours. So.
Okay, that's minutes. A good suggestion. I would also, I know the meeting wizard also had several Friday night times, and I don't think that's ever going to get a lot of votes. Although, I wonder if, I mean, actually, if you really, because it's really hard to find times. Saturday morning or Sunday night, better than Friday night. I don't know if that's worth, I mean, okay. All right. Well, I know they're going to be, because I looked at who'd responded, and there was, like, no two people had responded to anything. So, all right. Joe, did you want to say anything?
Nope.
I think I had Mike, then Carol, Will, Peter, Pat.
I don't know who I'm asking, Jim or Joe or anybody. I know the state has now moved to once again remove the sales tax from clothing and shoes costing under $110. And I know other counties are beginning to look at whether or not they should remove that, their portion of the sales tax on that. And wondered if we have a decision point about that we would have to consider, or could it be done at budget process, or where would it come up?
I'll have to do research, Mike.
Thanks.
I will do that.
Jim?
It, probably in your time, in your 15 years here, Mike, in my 6 years here, every time I've heard it brought up, the same answer is given by David Squires, and I believe a legitimate answer, that we're a student community and taking sales tax off for us would be not a good thing, given the fact that we rely so heavily on sales tax for our budget.
Okay, I got Carol, Will, Peter, Pat, and Mike again.
This is on the topic of how to set a meeting time for all of us. Okay. I was thinking about this today. When we have, I understand that sometimes the necessity for meetings comes up last minute, but sometimes there are meetings that we can anticipate well in advance that we're likely to need X number of dates per year for retreats. It would be really helpful and probably a whole lot easier to set those dates if we set them either at the beginning of the year or even a year in advance, if we can, for the six-month period that's 6 months from now. It starts 6 months from now. Because, the times that we go to schedule other things for, if we knew in advance that, in March of every year or April of every year we were going to need to have a budget retreat or if whatever they were, we can kind of anticipate some of them. And I think that would at least eliminate some of the times that it's so difficult. And maybe even pick dates that we decide we won't have meetings when there's a fifth month of the year, so that would encourage those of us who need to schedule stuff, other stuff, to schedule that stuff when we know something won't be coming up. That would be helpful. It would be helpful to me, and then my family would know well in advance when I was going to be available for other things, or my other communities would know.
Okay, I don't know to what degree that's possible. Kathy just mentioned something else, and then I'll go down the list, that our May 1st meeting appears as if it'll be about as light as this one, so I don't know if that's also an opportunity to add it to this meeting. Will, that would mean we probably wouldn't get to Groton this time.
I like going to Groton, and I think
I'm receptive to Brian's idea that we should do something out there. Just to, much as Pat has been doing the roving meetings for the broadband, I think it would be good to do things. This particular meeting, which is a budget retreat, historically has been a relatively internal kind of event, as our retreats are wont to be. So it wouldn't necessarily serve the purpose of making us more visible to Bremptonians or whatever, but maybe another one would. And I like Carol's idea of designating, if we have a fifth week and we could try to avoid, then that could be the week we can get away and do other stuff.
That's the week we have available to do extra stuff. Peter.
Let's see, I was going to say what Will said. I support Brian's idea and that this is not the right meeting. Of course, it's true that if you ask, well, suppose we're going to have one place where we meet and have all our meetings in that same place, it would be Ithaca, just by the geography. That's the most convenient place for everybody. But I do realize that it's important to have the rest of the public realize that this is not an Ithaca organization, and that to the extent possible, I think it's a good idea to actually look at for some meetings to appear to take place outside of Ithaca.
Pat?
I was just going to support the idea behind Brian's suggestion also, based on the response that we've gotten when we've gone out into the communities with broadband meetings. It's almost like people are just so happy that you're from the county and here you are, you know? And however, I can imagine then how complicated that could be for a full legislature meeting where we, most of our town halls, and I've now visited quite a few of them, physically would be difficult for everybody to have microphones and to do the recording and to make it available for the public and all the kinds of things that we do. But, you know, this is not the only meeting we have. So as another alternative, we might want to think about perhaps some of our committee meetings or, you know, something like that. So I would think that we could accomplish a similar purpose without necessarily taking the whole legislature meeting to a rural community.
Thank you, Pat. Good suggestion. Mike?
I just feel I have to respond to Jim there. Jim, at one point we did eliminate sales tax on clothing and shoes. David Squires, who is our fiscal conservative, has always been opposed to any lowering of our sales tax, and that's his job, to be conservative about these things. But, you know, we're worried about our low-income people in Tompkins County. We're worried about their housing. We're worried about the minimum wage. Maybe we ought to worry about what they have, they're taxed, and the regressive taxes that we give on such things as clothing and shoes, so that when they're buying socks, that maybe we aren't trying to collect money on that. And as far as soaking the students, I don't think that's what we should be doing.
Jim, you're up.
I guess I would suggest that you refer that to a committee, Mike. You know, we'll vote on it as we normally do. And, you know, I would have no problem with that. 5 years, 6 years I've been here, we've had the legislative retreat for the budget at the end of April. I can almost recall the dates, but, you know, we do know there are 24 meetings a year in the budget retreat, and it's always within the same 5-day period, 7-day period. So I think we've already pretty much done that, you know.
We could actually think about setting it on the year's calendar when we do the meetings for the year. Frank.
Thanks, Martha. You know, some of us have a perfect attendance record to protect. I just want to remind you, too, that we did the round robins when we had the library committee. We met in every town that had a library in the library so that we could get input from those municipalities. My suspicion is that maybe Dooley and Mike might be the only folks around the table here that might remember the old Rural Affairs Committee, which we had meetings all over the county with that one, too, sort of I'm glad Pat's following the example like that. But in the interest of trying to accommodate Brian and lengthen this meeting so that he can make his deadline, can we keep talking about this issue? Would anyone like to chime in?
I think we're on the way, because I got Jim and Pam.
I try not to be a violent person. I really do.
What?
I try not to be a violent person. I really do. Frank.
Jim and Pam.
The only comment, Frank said he was 100%er. I am so happy I'm in the 99% range. You can't believe. When I saw that in the newspaper, I was thrilled.
Yep. Pam.
I'd like to move the minutes.
I'll second those.
Well, we do have another committee meeting.
Oh, all right. Nice strike, man.
We'll come back to you on that. Thank you for your report, Jim. Sure. All right, Public Safety Committee, Peter Stein, Chair.
Yeah, before giving my report, I want to say that when I first came to Ithaca in 1956, I was vaguely under the impression that the county did not include the city of Ithaca, that the county was only outside Ithaca, and I maintained that misconception for about 10 years. But there you have it.
thank you, Peter.
But that's not my report.
Oh, we're getting a timeline from 1956.
Public Safety Committee will meet in about 16 hours from now. It's 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, and it will have a full agenda, which is rapidly expanding, including a report about how the sheriff's office intends to handle some kind of public demonstration that might arise, and that's been that's due to Carol Chalk. And it will also consider, due to Nauman Horwitz, exactly how the city plans and the county plans intersect each other. So those are two of the items that will be discussed. The rest of them are on the agenda.
Pat?
I need to make a slight correction from my broadband committee report when we're done with Peter's.
Are there any questions for Peter? Leslie?
I have a question, but I have a comment. So we're talking public safety. I just want to acknowledge the work of our law enforcement, not just here in Tompkins County, but throughout our country, and recalling the unfortunate shooting that happened in Oakland and the swift action of law enforcement personnel out there in trying to keep things calm, apprehend the perpetrator of such violence. And I also do want to say, similarly, as we think about what has been happening in Florida with community members speaking out about the Trayvon Martin shooting issue and Mr. Zimmerman's involvement and where he is and just how for one, I just wanted to ask people to continue to pray, light candles, whatever it is you do, for peace in our community, and especially for our law enforcement folks who put themselves in harm's way every day, despite some of the drama. And we know that it's not always stellar in every respect. There is somebody is doing that job, and I just wanted to point that out.
Thank you very much, Leslie. Anything else for Peter? Okay, thank you, Peter. Pat?
Thank you, Martha. I had said that we were meeting in the Ulysses Town Hall on the 11th. That was an old date, and I still had it on my calendar. We've changed that, and it's April 19th in the Ulysses Town Hall for anyone who wants to attend. I should have also mentioned that Marsha Lynch also has given us a tremendous amount of help with these community outreach forums that we're doing, and I want to thank her for that work she's put into it.
Thank you, Pat. As far as going out to the public, you know, we did, last couple of years, we've done a lot of budget meetings out in the public. I mean, it probably isn't too soon to start thinking about those, and it takes a lot of time to get those organized. So if anybody's really interested in scheduling far ahead, that's something. All right, Pam, would you like to move the minutes?
So moved.
Seconded by Frank. Any comments or questions? All in favor of the minutes of March 20th, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That is one opposed. 13-1, they pass.
Move, we adjourn.
Motion adjourned. Second. All in favor? Sorry, Brian. We're adjourned.
All right.
Thank you all.